Hi, good morning. So good to be here with all of you this morning. Before I get started, you may notice this big group of young people over here. They had a neat thing going on this weekend. A Disciple Now, a citywide Disciple Now was going on, D Now, and it was just a great weekend and took part with several other churches. And those of you who donated food and drinks and supplies, donated your host homes, thank you very much. I mean, it took the church coming together to do that, so thank you. And I had junior high boys at my house all weekend, and so we'll be spending the rest of the day fumigating. And it was good. Loved having them over there, guys. Y'all are awesome. You know, I'm just messing with you. But it was good. We got a great group of young people in this church body, and I'm so excited about what all God is doing in them. If you have your Bibles, open this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Before I get into this text, I want to just let y'all know something to be in prayer about. This is my last Sunday here before me and Danny leave for a trip. We are going next Tuesday to the Holy Land. We are going to Israel. Some of y'all may know about this. We're only going to be gone one Sunday. We'll be back on February 8th. But it was an opportunity that just kind of came out of nowhere recently. And it was something that an offer that we couldn't refuse. And so there were two spots left. This group of pastors that we are going with. Two of them from Palestine, Robert Moore at Grace Bible Church and Roy Duncan at Antioch. He's going along with us. So we'll be leaving Tuesday, flying over to Israel and spending time there. And so be in prayer about that. We're excited about it. And hopefully we'll be bringing back a whole lot of new sermon material. So it's going to be good. All right. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about where we're going as a church in 2019. We feel like the Lord is directing us to focus a lot of our efforts on everyone finding their place in the body and using all the gifts that God has given you for your specific place here. And last week I told you, you can't discover where your place is outside of the context of community. It takes getting involved and sharing life with others in order to find where you fit. Christian life is all about shared life and real community. It is not intended for lone rangers, people just being islands unto themselves. And we've looked at how this is what Jesus died for, and what he accomplished on the cross enables us to live this way, because what he did now makes it possible for us to get our eyes off of ourselves to where we can now think more of others. Today, I want to look at that particular point a little closer, and specifically why Jesus had to do that, how he did it, and what that means for us now. Because here's the deal, if we're going to answer the call that God has on this church and pursue all the things that he is inviting us to, it's important that we know what we're up against. Because we're going to be up, any time you jump out into what God is leading you to, you're going to run into resistance. And so if we think of this shared life in real community, being the church that God has calling us to be, if we think of that as the promised land that he is leading us to, then just like the promised land in the Old Testament, there's giants there. There are enemies that are going to come against us to try to keep us from possessing what God has already declared is ours. The good news about that, though, is that every one of those enemies have already been defeated. And so we get to come against them from a position of victory before each one of those battles even begins. And so to understand what I'm talking about, we need to go all the way back to the start. So that's why I had you turn to Genesis chapter 3. Here, Adam and Eve have been living the life that God really created all of us for in this intensely intimate relationship with God where his incredible love for them served as the basis for everything that they did. It was a motivation for how they lived life. They were so full of an understanding of the Father's love for them that there was absolutely no room whatsoever for any ounce of fear, guilt, or shame at all. But the serpent comes along and deceives them into believing that this love that they were living in God, that his love wasn't enough, that he was holding them back from something more, something better. And so they did the one thing that God warned them not to do because it would kill them if they did, and that was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 3 verse 6 says that Eve ate it first, and then she gave it to Adam, and he ate. And then we're going to pick up with what happened next in verse 7 and read down through verse 13. So let's all stand together in honor of the word of God this morning. Genesis 3, 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Let's pray. God, I'm asking right now that via your Holy Spirit, Lord, would you give us just a revelation of your love that we were singing about a while ago. God, that we were singing how your love, your blood just sets us free. It purchased our liberty. God, today, let us leave here knowing without a doubt what that really means. And God, from that knowledge, it just changes the way that we live, the way that we approach life. So God, let your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God is a spirit being. And so in order to be connected with him, in order to have a relationship with him, it requires whatever he is going to be in relationship with to have a living spirit. Adam and Eve were originally created as both physical and spiritual beings, which allowed them to know God's love and to see life and the world around them the way that God saw it. But then they ate from the tree that he said they better not, or else they would die. And when they did, they didn't die immediately, at least physically. But there was one part of them that did absolutely die at that moment, and it was that living spirit that connected them to God. I've talked before about the phrase there in verse 7 that says, "Then their eyes were open," and how that's referring to their physical, their natural eyes were open because their spiritual eyes were closed because that spirit died. They no longer could see things the way that God does. They lost that constant awareness of the Father's love. They just couldn't see it anymore. And the immediate consequence of that spiritual death, that spiritual blindness, was the next phrase in verse 7 that says, "And they knew that they were naked." Their eyes, their focus, their awareness immediately went from God to themselves. You see, everything that God's love provided before was now gone, or at least they could no longer see it anymore. Before, they knew that his immense love for them meant that they could completely trust him with everything. And so there never was any worry about their needs being met because they trusted that his love meant he was going to provide for all of their needs. There was never any fear about what was going to happen to them or danger because they were so loved by the Father. They knew that he was going to protect them. They trusted him, relied relied on him for everything in life, everything that could bring them satisfaction. There was not one thing in the world that they ever felt that they needed to look to themselves for or rely on themselves. They were totally and utterly dependent and reliant on God simply because they knew how much he loved them. But now they could no longer see or sense his love. It was now up to them to gain those things in order to secure those things for themselves. And instead of trusting God, they had to take matters into their own hands. And as soon as their focus went to them, then they became aware of something that didn't matter before. But now all of a sudden it did matter. Nothing changed about them, but they just saw it a whole lot differently now that they were naked. Now, why didn't they realize that before? Because they were so enthralled in the Father's love that nothing else mattered. Amen. It didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter how they were. His love was so intense, the thought never crossed their mind that something about them needed to be changed in any way. It's like, if God loves me this much, just like I am right now, then why would I need to change? Why would I need to hide? I wouldn't need to. It didn't matter. Yeah. And they just had that freedom that they could live in. And the truth is, their nakedness really had nothing to do with it. What they were trying to cover wasn't ultimately their bodies. It was their shame. But they just saw their naked bodies as a representation of this immense shame that they now felt as a result of their sin. And so they tried to cover their shame by sewing fig leaves together. In verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Apparently, the fig leaves weren't enough, and that shame drove them deeper into more covering. They felt they needed now to hide behind trees where they couldn't be seen at all. And so Adam and Eve, from just one act of disobedience and rebellion, the first thing, if you're following along there in the bulletin, believing God's love wasn't enough. In an instant, they went from being God-centered to being self-centered. In an instant, they went from being fully aware of his love to being fully aware of their shame. In that instant, they went from living in absolute freedom to hiding behind trees. This was the reality of their fallen state. And it is the same state of being that everyone after them would be born into, including you and me. Every one of us come into this world self-centered rather than God-centered. And from the moment we are old enough to gain any sense of self-awareness, we start hiding behind trees, putting something in front of us so that nobody will see or notice what's behind there. Nobody will know the real us. And all of us at some point are just waving our trees at each other, trying to cause this distraction that everybody's eyes will go to so they won't see us. The next list of blanks in your notes are the different forms that these trees take. Some try to hide behind the tree of their job. They pour themselves into what they do for a living, trying to create this false identity based on that. And I call it a false identity because what you do is not who you are if you are in Christ. But we try to make it that way, saying, like, I am a businessman. I am a teacher, a doctor. I am a prison guard. I am whatever. We are attaching. This is who I am. This is my identity. And I'll admit that is a pretty effective way of distracting others from the real you, but it is also extremely risky and dangerous because what if something happens and you're not able to do that anymore? Now who are you? That identity is gone. You spent the majority of your life building this identity based on what you do. And if you suddenly can't do that anymore, well, now you're exposed. That tree that you've been hiding behind is gone. That's why so many people these days are just falling into this big pit of depression after retirement. And a lot, just more and more retirees are taking their own lives. And I think a lot of it has to do with because they have built their whole identity on their career, and now it's gone, and they don't know who they are. Another tree that people hide behind, and this is a big one in our culture today, children. These are the ones that are always pushing and promoting their kids for everyone to see, wanting to draw attention. Everybody look at my kid, pushing them to excel and pressuring them to perform so that everyone will notice the kids, but not you. Just like with the job, many attach their identity to their child, thinking that if the kid looks good, then I look good. But if the kid looks bad, then I look bad. And then they are so hard on them whenever they fail and mess up and just pressuring them. You got to do it right, and just shaming them and condemning them, making life so hard on them because that's their identity that they're seeing in their kids. So instead of raising up a child in the way that he should go, as the Word of God teaches us to do, they are pressuring and molding that child into the identity that that parent wants. Instead, you don't want anyone to see the real you, and so you're waving your kid out there as a distraction to try to hide. Some will hide behind the tree of humor. These are the ones who can't ever be serious about anything, always cracking jokes and making everyone laugh. And humor is good. It's okay to make people laugh. But it's not okay if you're using humor as a way to hide what's really going on inside. It's not okay if you're dying on the inside and laughing on the outside just as a distraction from it. It's not good if someone asks you, how are you doing? Or they begin to talk about something that they know that you're struggling with and you just change it so you just make light of it. And just make it funny, make them laugh again, and because it's you're hiding. Another tree people hide behind is the tree of physical appearance. I mean, if they can make themselves look as good as possible on the outside, nobody's going to pay attention to what's really going on the inside. These are ones that are just consumed with how they look, so much so that they can't even make a quick run to the gas station without getting all dolled up like they're going to a dinner party. But you don't dare let anyone see you without makeup, or without your hair fixed, because that's just a little bit closer to what's behind the tree. It's the ones that just obsess with spending all their time in the gym working out. Spend more time doing that than they do anything actually meaningful or with anybody else, obsessing over every roll, wrinkle, and pimple. You know, those that hide behind the tree of physical appearance are the masters of the selfie. They post way more pictures about themselves than they do of anyone else. And they know how to get just the right angle and use just the right filter, trying to make that tree look as good as possible so no one notices what's really behind it.
Amen. Careful, Mark.
But then here in this area where we buckle the Bible belt, you've got the tree of religion that people hide behind. These are the ones that go to church every time the doors open, raise their hand as high as they can during worship, volunteer their time, posting scripture verses all over their social media, not because they have any real passion and love for Jesus, just because they're trying to create this identity that they want everybody to think they are, so they won't see what's really there. And It may look very legit to a lot of people, but if that's you, deep down you know it's just a facade, and you're wondering how much longer you can keep this up. I'm telling you, it won't be very much longer at all, because eventually you will crash and burn. No matter what form they take, we're all waving our trees, trying to hide behind who we really are. And social media has been a godsend for those who are hiding. Because now we have a way of waving our trees even harder. We have more control over how we make our trees look. And we've got ways of now hiding behind multiple trees, whether it's our kid, our job, our successes, our looks. We can put all that out there and hide who we really are. And we're going, hey, everyone, keep looking here. Look at my kids. Look at my beauty. Look at my success. Look here, but don't dare look here. Why don't we want anyone to see what's behind these trees? Why don't we want to be known? Because they might not like me. They might reject me. May not accept me. I'm ashamed of who I am. I'm ashamed of my failures. They realized they were naked and made themselves coverings. It's still going on today. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? I love that question God asked him. Who told you that you were naked? In other words, he was saying, who told you that was a shameful thing? Who told you that was something that you needed to cover up? Insinuating that I didn't tell you that. So who you been listening to, Adam? Verse 12, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Not only were they hiding in shame, but now they're deflecting, trying to put the focus on someone else instead of on them. We do that all the time. Why are we so quick to point out everyone else's faults? Because it takes the attention off of our own. Those that are always talking about others and putting them down and exposing everyone else's faults are really exposing a fault of theirs, how insecure they are. And afraid of anyone seeing what they are really like. Constantly deflect, trying to point out everyone else's failures. Y'all, everything that I just described is not the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. That is not it. And he has provided a much better, a much freer way for us to live than that. Next point. Jesus came to restore what was lost in the garden. He came to restore that relationship, that intimate relationship of love that Adam and Eve were cut off from. And I want us to, this morning, just gaze upon the cross and get a glimpse of what actually happened there. First of all, there were hundreds of different ways that Jesus could have died. And the requirement would have been paid because it was shed blood. It was death that needed to happen. And there are a number of ways that could have happened. He could have been tortured to death so many different ways because the Romans were masters of this. They made execution and torture an art form. The Jews originally accused Jesus of the crime of blasphemy. Their whole case against him was that he broke their religious law. And they were just so adamant about that you can't break the law and the law has to be followed, yet it's that very same law that said there was a specific punishment for that crime. And it wasn't crucifixion. It was being stoned to death. But Jesus wasn't stoned to death. He was crucified. You think that God may have had a reason that Jesus be crucified and work things out to where that's what happened instead of being stoned? Of course he did. I believe at least one of those reasons has to do with what we're talking about here. He was stripped naked and nailed to a wooden cross, a tree. Galatians 3:13 says, "He became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Was it just a coincidence that Jesus happened to die on the very thing that Adam and Eve tried to hide behind? There are no coincidences with God. Everything he does, there's a purpose behind it. You know, in all the pictures we see of the crucifixion, none of them are as near as brutal as what really happened. And they're a lot more modest than what really happened, because in all those pictures, Jesus has some type of loin covering wrapped around him. But the whole point of Roman crucifixion was for it to be something designed to be as shameful and as humiliating as possible. And so those who were crucified were always stripped completely naked, just hung up there for all to see, just to add to their shame and humiliation. What Adam and Eve realized about themselves and tried to cover up, Jesus was hanging on that cross. And it was there that he took upon himself that curse of sin that came as a result of Adam's rebellion. He took upon himself the separation from the Father that all of us inherited. He took upon himself the shame that causes us to constantly try to cover ourselves up. And all of that was nailed to the very thing that we still try to hide behind. Our trees that we wave in front of us, trying to distract from who we really are. But Jesus did all that so that we wouldn't have to. And for those that believe that and know that their only hope is in that, their only hope of being made right with God is what Jesus did at the cross. He brings to life that dead spirit that came as a result of sin, enabling once again to be in that intimate relationship with the Father, seeing things the way that he does and understanding his love. We have now the opportunity for our eyes to be open, but not our natural and physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes this time. Because of the love of the Father that was shown to us and displayed on the cross and that is poured out on us through what Jesus did, we no longer have to worry about what others think because we now know what God thinks. If he accepts us and loves us for who we are with all our failures and our shortcomings and our mistakes and our messes, then there's no reason for us to hide those things or cover them up or trying to deflect and distract to something else. And I know some of you will say, well, I know that God accepts me, but if I'm open about who I really am, others are going to reject me. They're not going to accept me. Yeah, you're right. People are sorry. And they will reject you. Jesus even said that you're going to be rejected by people in this world. But you know what? It's okay. Because Jesus has made it possible for us to be so consumed by the love of the Father, who cares? Amen. And the reason why that doesn't really fully click with a lot of us is because we're still believing the same lie that Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden, that God's love isn't enough. There's more that you need. If we're so worried about what others think, then that means that we don't believe that God's love is enough for us. His love isn't enough, and so we need to add somebody else's to it. We need to be loved by others because apparently his isn't enough. His acceptance isn't enough, and so we also need the acceptance of others. And when you start believing that, your focus goes right back to you, and then you're once again hiding in shame behind all those trees that you're trying to distract everyone with. Paul understood this. That's why he said this in 1 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Why can Paul boast about his weaknesses? Because he's not hiding them. He knows he doesn't have to hide them anymore. The more that he can boast, which means to expose, to draw attention to, the more God's grace is magnified. The more real that he can be about himself, the more God is glorified in his life. His grace is magnified. And then he says this in verse 10. Listen, he says, therefore, I'm well content with what? With weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, all those things that we try to avoid by hiding behind our trees. Paul's saying, I'm content with these things, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why is he content with those things? Because he has an understanding of the Father's love. And if God does love him that much, nothing else matters. Oh, well, I'm rejected. Oh, well, God loves me madly. I'm going through a distress right now. Oh, well, God loves me so much, I'm not even worried about it. Being persecuted. Oh, well, nothing can take me away from the love of the Father. Some of you are believing a lie that's causing you to hide. You can't be open and honest with anyone. And all this talk the last couple weeks about shared life and real community has got you scared to death, feeling uneasy at best because you believe the lie that your shame still needs to be covered up. You believe in the lie that God's love for you isn't enough. Maybe you've believed the lie that the love of God like that may be true for others, but that's not true for me. There's no way he could love somebody like me that way. Today, you need to know that God is here, and he's asking you the same question that he asked Adam. Who told you that? Who told you that? Because it wasn't me. You going to listen to the voice of the enemy or listen to the voice of truth? Now, I listed some of the trees that we tend to hide behind there in the notes, but you still see that there's one blank left. That's for you to fill in on your own. It may not be a tree that I mentioned. It could be some other tree. There's tree of anger, that's one a lot of people hide behind. We are so scared of anyone getting close to us that we're just going to lash out in anger and keep them at an arm's distance. Like a porcupine, don't come close to me. So my anger is just going to keep you away. But what tree have you been hiding behind? And I know sermons like this, I know that some of you are thinking, well, I hope so-and-so is really listening to this. Some of you are going, well, I wish this person were here. They really need to hear this one. Just stop. Just stop. Because listen, God is calling you from out behind the tree. You. Whatever kind it is, he wants you to know that you don't have to hide back there anymore. And here's the last thing I want to leave you with this morning. The last image I want to leave you with. I want you all to just close your eyes for a minute and just picture in your mind Jesus hanging on that cross, totally exposed, shamed, blood just flowing down his body. Picture some of the details, his head hanging down, blood just running down the bridge of his nose, dripping off the end from the thorns in his scalp. Picture that blood running down his legs and just dripping off the end of his toes. Just listen. If you listen close, you can hear all those drops of blood hitting the ground around him. It sounds like it's starting to rain. So much. Listen for his labored breathing. Every time he inhales, you can hear that rattle as his lungs fill with blood. And then those drips hitting the ground begin to slow. Jesus' labored breathing finally stops, and the Son of God hangs lifeless in death. Now I want you to zoom in and look close at his face. Can you see it? The pieces of his beard that are still left that haven't been ripped out, matted, dried blood, his eyes swollen, bruised from the beatings that he has taken. This is the price that Jesus paid for you to be set free. Now, as you have his face there in your mind, seeing him hanging there dead on the cross, I want you to replace that with you. The you that you are afraid of anyone knowing. The shame that you're trying to cover. The you that you're trying to hide. This is what I want you to see on the cross, dead there, because Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Everything about you that you think deserves to be hidden, Jesus has taken. He has killed it on the cross, and he has buried it in the tomb. So come out from behind the tree and live. Live in the freedom that his blood has bought for you. Let's pray. God, I pray that right now that you're love become more real to some people in here, God, than it ever has before. But I pray that people that have been so afraid of being known, so shameful and trying to hide, God, that they would hear you just saying, it's okay. It's okay. Come into the light where I am. But hiding in the dark. Lord, I pray that they would know that being honest about where they are and about their failures and their shortcomings, God, that they would know that it's safe to do that because they're in the safety of you. Maybe somebody judges them. Maybe somebody rejects them, but God, it won't matter because they know who they are in you. Lord, I pray that we would all leave here this morning knowing that your love is enough. God, not just that we're saying it because we intellectually agree with it, but that we really know it. To the point where it affects how we live. Lord, I thank you that there are chains being loosened in here right now. God, that there are trees that have been standing for years and years that you are felling. They're falling, they're crashing to the ground. And Lord, your love and your light is just shining all over them. So Holy Spirit, would you come and just continue to do the work in us that you desire to do. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for loving us, in spite of the fact that we do not deserve it. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.